Well, good evening. I've got a red dot. Does that mean it's going to die? Are we okay? We're good. Okay. Well, I remember I couldn't help when I was sitting in the seat and thinking about my first time ever speaking at Evangel. I was 18 years old, and Pastor had asked me to speak and given me 6 months' notice. This is my first time speaking, and I worked at Price Chopper. Every day, 6 months, as I stocked shelves, I was nervous about speaking in church, which wasn't real exciting. And then the night came forward, and I had friends in Lockport, and they brought a bus of people down, which was not exciting. And all the family came out, and I remember coming up, sitting in the front row, and I was just soaked in sweat. And I asked the pastor, I said, you know, does this ever go away? And he told me no. And I said, well, I don't know if I want to go into ministry anymore. But he said it goes away a little bit. But what I've realized over time is that it's always good to be a little bit nervous when you're bringing forth the Word of God, that you have been given this privilege to bring forth the Word of God, and God has given you this opportunity to speak what He would have to say. And we should maybe be a little bit nervous, but also come with boldness, knowing that God is always faithful to speak through us, and He's faithful to show up when we call on His name. I want to just pray, and then we're going to jump right into it this evening. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time that you've given us. I thank you for Pastor Nathan and Mandy, God, and what you're doing in this church. And Lord, I just ask right now that in these next few moments that you would be present, that you would speak through me, and that we would have hearts that would be prepared for transformation, ears that were ready to listen, and that it wasn't an accident that we came here this evening, but that you have a special plan and you have something that you want to do this evening. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So as Pastor Nathan has said, we've been ministering in Littleton now for 3.5 years, and it's been a journey. We went from Halifax to northern New Brunswick, and that was a bigger change than we anticipated. It seemed like a really exciting thing to be in a rural area, but then you realize you're 25 minutes to the drugstore and not 5 minutes, and you're a little further away from the hospitals. But God has been very, very faithful with our ministry in Littleton. And we started out, I shared a little bit this morning at Pastor Allen's church, our story, but I'll share it a little bit with you guys. We started out with a very small group of young people. We had about seven or eight youth. And then over time, as God has spoken to us and God has really just done a miraculous work, this year we have about 55 students that are a part of our preteen ministry. Which is really, really exciting that in a community of about 1,700 people that we would have this many kids that come out. But it has brought new challenges. It's not easy working with primarily unchurched kids because they get saved and you're trying to disciple them, but they're going back to homes that are full of brokenness, a lot of one-parent families, a lot of situations that are just really tough. But God has been faithful, and God has taken kids that are in homes without any Christian family, and He's raised these kids up as leaders in our ministry. And we're really excited about what God is continuing to do. We have new challenges every week. We had new challenges last week of kids smoking vapes on our bus. We pick kids up, and they're using vaporizers in the bus, and we have to deal with that. Always new challenges, but God has continued to be faithful in our ministry. And we pray the same for this church as well. And I remember a different time where on a Sunday evening you'd have two or three rows of children that were full coming to church, and I was called to ministry in the third row here many years ago. But God can do that again. The ministry that the miracle He did in our community is a miracle that He can do here, and He's already starting something here in your kids. And I see Ryan doing a great work. I was going to call him Pastor Ryan, but he really is kind of like a pastor in how he leads the kids and students here. He might not like me saying that. He does a great job, and God is going to do a great work. And I want to talk a little bit about praying bold prayers tonight. When I was coming here this evening, I was asking of God, you know, what should I speak on this evening? And I've been working through this devotional. I've worked through it a couple different times now. It's called Sun Stand Still, and it focuses on Joshua chapter 10. And I love that portion of Scripture, and I felt like wanted me to focus on that this evening. So that's where we're going tonight. Joshua chapter 10, starting at verse 1. You can turn there with me if you like. Joshua chapter 10, starting at verse 1. It says, now Adoni-Zedek, king of Jerusalem, heard that Joshua had already taken Ai and totally destroyed it, doing to Ai and its king as he had done to Jericho and its king, and that the people of Gibeon had made a treaty of peace with Israel and had become their allies. He and his people were very much alarmed at this because Gibeon was an important city, like one of the royal cities. It was larger than Ai, and all of its men were good fighters. So Adoni-Zedek, king of Jerusalem, appeared to Hoam, king of Hebron, Piram, king of Jarmuth, Japhia, king of Lachish, and Deborah, king of Eglon. Come up and help me attack Gibeon, he said, because it has made peace with Joshua and the Israelites. Then the five kings of the Amorites, the kings of Jerusalem, Hebron, Jarmuth, Lachish, and Eglon, joined forces, and they moved up with all their troops and took up positions against Gibeon and attacked it. The Gibeons sent word to Joshua in the camp of Gilgal and said, do not abandon your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us. Help us, because all the Amorite kings from the hill country have joined forces against us. So Joshua marched up from Gilgal and his entire army, including all of the best fighting men. And the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you. And after an all-night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. Verse 10, the Lord threw them into confusion before Israel. So Joshua and the Israelites defeated them completely at Gibeon. Israel pursued them along the road, going up to Beth Horon, and cut them down all the way to Azekah and Hakadah. As they fled before Israel on the road down to Beth Horon to Azekah, the Lord hurled large hailstones down on them, and more of them died from the hail than were killed by swords of the Israelites. And on the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, sun, stand still over Gibeon, and you, moon, over the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, till the nation avenged itself on all its enemies, as is written in the book of Jashar. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. And we're going to stop there. Asking for the impossible. You've realized that over time that kids will believe almost anything. Now, my kids are, I thought, might be in the nursery. So, Faith, I'm not picking on you here, but I sort of am. My daughter has a girl on her bus that has told the other kids on the school bus that she actually knows how to fly. Now, she can only fly if no one's looking at her. And she can only fly if no one else is around, but she can fly. And she's actually held to this for a season. Now, there have been other things that kids have told my kids will come back and say, well, this person said this, and they believe it because they're kids and they believe in things that maybe as adults we would look at and say, well, we know that's actually not possible. This child can't actually fly. Now, she said maybe that when she's not looking, so we can't actually ever know because we've never actually seen her when no one's looking, but she can't actually fly. Kids will also try things that maybe seem impossible to us. So our kids, we have a little kind of ottoman that goes in front of our couch. And no matter the distance between the couch and the ottoman, our two-year-old will try to make the leap. So she'll walk in, she'll stand up on top of it. And you know that the space is too big. She can't actually get from one to the other, but she'll still try. She'll still make an attempt. She'll try to climb up the slide of the playground. She'll do all of these different things that result in her usually getting hurt. But she's willing to try. She's willing to go for things that would seem impossible to us. Now, there's a problem. Sometimes they actually can do the things that we think are impossible. You ever see your kid and you see them, they want to try something and we say, well, no, you can't do that. You'll get hurt. And like, no, I actually can. And as a parent, you guys have heard the term helicopter parents. I've been a helicopter parent. I probably still am a helicopter parent. I like to keep my kids safe. So if they say, I want to try this, I'm apt to say, no, you shouldn't do that. You'll get hurt. And then I think, like, well, if we don't let them actually do these things, they'll never actually accomplish anything. Sometimes they have to be allowed to and try the impossible to see what they can actually accomplish. I want to get to our first point by asking you a question. Do you remember a time in your life when you were willing to ask for the impossible and someone or something stopped you? Do you remember a different time in your life when you were willing to ask God for the impossible and someone or something stopped you? That can be other people. That can be yourself. Or it can be our enemy, which we know is very present. Now, if we look at this portion of Scripture, we're going to break it into a few parts. Verse 6, we have the plea. So the plea that comes forth that says, we need help. Our enemies are gathering against us, and you are our ally. We need help. There's the plea. We have the promise from God. Don't be afraid. I have given them into your hand. We have the prayer of faith, where Joshua prays that the sun would stand still, and we have the answer from God. Asking for the impossible. Now, we can see Joshua in this story has come off this previous victory at Ai. Because of that, his enemies are aware of this previous victory, and you can know this, that if you have had previous victories in your life, if you've experienced great victory, the enemy is aware of that. The enemy is aware of the victories that have taken place in the past. He does not want the victories to continue in your life. The enemy is aware of your previous victories. And after you've seen something, God do something great, the enemy is aware of what's going on. And sometimes after God has done something great in our lives, we can feel the heat turn up. We can feel things change a little bit. We went to this conference in Halifax, Focus 18. I know your church went there as well. It was a fantastic conference. We saw lives changed. And you know what? We left the conference, and what happened? We immediately get back, and my leaders who were so encouraged by what God had just done immediately are discouraged because we had a really rough night this past Wednesday. The heat turns up. The enemy pushes back a little bit. And the very leaders who were with us before and are excited about what God's doing are saying, well, if things don't change, you're not going to have any more leaders. You better fix this or else we're not going to hang around anymore. Because after God did something great, the enemy becomes aware of it. He starts to push back. And there starts to become this spiritual warfare going on that sometimes we never want to admit is going on, but it's going on behind the scenes. And we need to be very aware of what's going on and be willing to go to God and say, God, I'm not okay with what I see happening, and I know you can change it. In Acts 19, starting at verse 13, it says, then some inerrant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered them and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? That when we experience these great victories walking with God, the Israelites were known by who they stood for. They were known that, you know what, if Joshua's coming with the Israelites, these are people that we need to be prepared for. And I would ask you this evening, who are you? Who or what are you known by? When people look at your life and they ask about who you are, who are you known by? In this verse that we read about this spirit, it says, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? They knew that these people were actually not known by Jesus. They were using his name, but they were not known by him. If you walk in the Spirit and you're willing to pray in his name, you can come to him with bold prayers. But it's not just about church attendance. It's not just about saying, you know, I use this term a lot because I feel it's an American and a North American church problem. It's not just checking the church box. Went to church on Sunday morning, went to church on Sunday night, maybe did my devotions on this day, maybe on this day. Checking the church box and saying, oh, everything's great because I was able to check the church box this week. It's actually being known by him and saying, I want to walk in the Spirit and I want to pray bold prayers in his name. So Joshua hears the pleas of the Gibeonites, don't abandon us, and then he hears from God, I'm with you, so you don't have to be afraid. So first he hears this plea from them, and then God speaks to him that I'm going to go with you. Why did he need to hear from God? Because not every battle is yours, and not every battle is for right now. Not every battle will be yours, and not every battle will be for right now. This is why we shouldn't wait before we give our situations to God. I can say in my life, there's been so many times where a situation comes up, a difficulty, a challenge, and my immediate reaction is, I need to fix this myself. How can I fix this? How can I get my hands into this? How can I try to change this situation? And then what will happen is I will fail. And then after I fail, I'm like, you know what, God, maybe it's time to give it to you. And that's why in these situations, we need to be willing to say, you know what, God, we've got this plea. I'm giving this over to you. What's your response? And when God responds and says, I'm with you, so you don't have to be afraid, you can know that you can go into any situation, and God, if God goes with you, you're going to be just fine. If God goes with you, you'll be just fine. Israel did this in its first battle against Ai, where it runs headfirst into a battle and is beaten because there's sin in the camp. They had sin in the camp, and when they went up, he didn't go with them, and they lost the battle. But you can know that if you'll bring the situation to God, and he says, I will go with you, it does not matter the situation, you're going to be just fine. So when we face a difficulty, God has already spoken in our ministry things to Heidi and I, that when we face a challenge, when it seems like the enemy rises up against us, we sometimes will have to lean on the word of God that has come forth and say, God, what you have spoken in the past is still true today. What you spoke 6 months ago is true today, even though it's difficult. Not every moment is going to be like when we're at a Focus 18 conference. Not every moment is easy. There'll be times when we will have to lean on what God has said in the past, what God has promised to us. We will have to lean on God's word of who he says he is and who he says we are. And if we lean on him and we bring it to him, we can go through any situation. In Exodus 33:15, Moses says, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Now, when I go to the washroom or I go to warm up my car, I don't approach God and say, God, I want you to go with me in this situation. Every single little situation in my life, I don't ask him and say, is it okay if I do this? But you'll know that we should not ignore him in the day-to-day of our lives. You'll know that you shouldn't ignore him in the day-to-day of your lives. Once he is aware that, yes, and he tells us that, yes, this is our battle, God has spoken, and there remains no doubt of whether or not God will go with us. There remains no doubt that God is going to with us when he's given us that yes. And when you're walking in step with God's vision and his word over your life, you can feel confident in praying bold prayers. When you've went to God and you've said, God, here's the situation. I need you to answer. And he says, yes, yes, take that step. You can then step before God and pray bold prayers. Pastor Stephen Furtick says this in his book, Son, Stand Still. God is ready to act when we will ask not just for a good day or a better life, but for the impossible. God is ready to act when we will ask not just for a good day or a better life, but for the impossible. I believe that the church has spent so much time living by the world's rules that it has become more comfortable living in the natural than living in the supernatural. And what we see happening all across Canada, and this is not to generalize that all churches are doing this, I don't mean it that way, but we see churches that are having great challenges. North America is in a really rough spot in terms of church growth and people coming to know Jesus. And we look for every answer sometimes but to God. We'll look to every single person.
I was speaking in the natural.
There we go. I won't hit that button again. The result is a world that looks at the church and says, their lives look a lot like mine. But when someone will step up and pray a prayer, like Sun Stands Still over Gibeon, we will see change. Heidi and I have been in ministry now for just over 9 years. For many different portions of our ministry, we have been guilty of this very thing. Facing a difficulty, facing a challenge, and instead of going to God with it, looking for our own solutions. Calling everyone under the sun, well, how would you fix this? How would you do this? As I said, not bad to seek godly wisdom, but it is bad to go to men first instead of going to God first. And we can all be very guilty of that. God says, bring it to me. Pray a bold prayer. Sun, stand still over Gibeon. If you want to remove all unbelief from an unbeliever, then start believing and praying for the impossible. This is another quote from Stephen's book. He says, if your vision isn't intimidating to you, then it's probably insulting to God. Let's change the wording here. If your prayer isn't intimidating to you, then it's probably insulting to God. Are we willing to continue to pray bold prayers? Are we willing to say to God, you know what? For a very long time, I've looked at this situation, and it seems like there's been no change. And because of that, I've given up. I'm willing to bring that back to you tonight. There was a time in this church where it had started to fill up, and we, in faith, knocked the wall out and put the overflow in. Do we look at the history of the church and where the church is today and say, I guess, you know what, if we can just kind of maintain and be the same, or are we willing to say, you know what, God, I actually believe that you could fill these pews once again, that people from our community still need Jesus, that you could make our youth group be what it once was, you could grow it once again. Or do we in the natural, which I've done many times, say, you know what, God, well, it's 2018 and people are having less kids and people don't really like church. And so if we could just maintain what we have, that would be great. Or are we willing to pray for impossible things and say, God, that's not enough. I believe that you've placed Pastor Nathan and Mandy and the leadership here for a season, and it's a season of growth, and you have impossible things in store if we're willing to step out and pray for them. And not just step out and pray for them. I want to give you this is a full sermon. Did I hit the button? We good? We're good. I want to give you a sermon in 3 minutes. During our time when we came into Littleton, we asked a few different questions about, you know what, God, we were at Full Gospel, and, you know, we had some times where it was difficult and times where you were faithful, but you led us here. So when we first got there and we started praying about what God would do, God, you know, we'd like you to do this, we'd like you to do this. And what I found was happening was we were actually praying, but we weren't actually acting on a lot of our prayers. We were just kind of praying. We didn't actually ask God to put our prayers into action. And if you look at the book of Nehemiah, which is one of my favorite books, Nehemiah is the story of the wall being rebuilt. And during this story, Nehemiah hears about the condition of the wall. And the wall is been devastated and torn down. And he says he just weeps. He weeps and he's broken over the condition. And something that actually, if you look at the story, the wall had been down for a long time. So either one, Nehemiah had not heard the story yet, but what is actually more likely is that he knew the wall was down. This was the first time that he had felt that stirring, that the wall is down and this is not a good thing. So then what happens is Nehemiah goes to prayer. He goes to prayer. Then after he goes to prayer, he goes to the king and says, I want to do this. I want to step out and go rebuild the wall. He gets permission, then he goes and rebuilds the wall amongst opposition. We see this full vision kind of come to fruition. And here's what I see happen in the church very often. We see the condition, we go to prayer, stops there. We'll go to prayer and it just stops there. It's like, well, God, I know that maybe there are action steps to take beyond prayer, but that's where it's going to stop for me. I'm going to pray. Lord, send somebody out into the harvest. Send somebody else out. When what God says is, if you're going to pray the impossible prayer, when Joshua prays, sun stand still over Gibeon, he still has to go out and finish the work. God answers the prayer. He goes out and finishes the work. And if we as God's people want to see change, we also will have to be people that will step out into action. So when I look at the condition of my church and I say, things don't look quite as I would hope them to be, will I then take the next step and pray and say, God, where could you fit me in? Where could you use me? Where could you place me? What aspect of change can I be in my church and in my community? Because we can't have a church that's willing to pray but not act. I was talking to my dad this morning. We talked about, I said, when you look at when the Holy Spirit was poured out and they're all filled with the Holy Spirit, they didn't say, let's all hang out here and invite people to the room. Where did they go? They left and went out and brought the message forward. And that's something that Heidi and I have felt really challenged on is we've said, how much time do I spend in the church office? How much time do I spend in my own home versus how much time am I out among the people? How much time am I willing to pray for the people and then step out and step into action? And you know what? That doesn't feel warm and fuzzy. That's not a warm, fuzzy message for anybody, because one of the most difficult things is to go out. Whether you're a pastor, whether you're someone who sits in the pew, it is a difficult thing for all of us to go out. But I promise you this, when you step out, when God has spoken, he is faithful. My wife has, and this is where she has ministered to me and been an encouragement to me. Every day she has gone out, whether it's to a school, in town for groceries, or to the hospital for a visitation, when she'll pray, God, give me someone today. And towards the day's almost over, and say, well, God, who's that person? God is always faithful to put someone in her line for her to minister to. Will you pray that prayer when you're out? Will you pray that prayer when you're going through your community? God, there's a person for me today to minister to. There's a person for me to step out and reach out to. Because prayer is powerful. Prayer changes lives. But prayer also should move into action at some point. And God will do the rest. Life without vision is a dangerous place to be in. You've all heard, without a vision, the people perish. Without vision, your walk with God will miss the mark. Many have sight, but few have vision. And I believe that there's a distinct difference for this. Sight is living according to what you see. Vision will take what you see, and it will put it through what God's filter is and what he said. And then you'll have vision for the future. So if God speaks to you, though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil, because your rod and staff comfort me, that when you face a giant in the valley, your vision will remind you that God will see you through that giant. Your vision will remind you of that. There'll be a time when you'll need to lean on what God has spoken. If someone told you that salvation would mean everything would go well, they were mistaken. Jesus said, in this world we will have trouble. In this world we will have trouble. I don't think anybody here would raise their hand and say, oh, life's just been grand. I've never actually had trouble. Things have been perfect. We have trouble. But he added, take heart, for I have overcome the world. I believe there's a couple key obstacles that will keep us from praying bold prayers. One is a conformed mind. Romans 12 says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. A mind that conforms to worldly patterns will trust the words of man. A mind that conforms to worldly patterns will believe the lies of the enemy. This church can't grow. It's been the same size for 10 years. God won't save your kids. They've been away from God for too long. This sickness has no cure. You'll be gone within the year. Maybe it's you're too old to go back to school. You'll never make it. A renewed mind that walks in the Spirit says, with God, all things are possible. So many of us have gotten to that place where we've said, we've allowed what we've seen to create our vision. We've looked at the past and said, well, here's what I see. And we've conformed to worldly patterns and we've seen things in the natural. We need to be willing to go back to God and say, God, if that's happened to me, if I look at people, if I look at my church, if I look at my walk with you through natural eyes, God, turn me around, renew me, give me a renewed mind that will walk with the Spirit, one that believes that with God all things are possible. Because there will be times when you're going to need to lean on the Word of God again and say, you know what, God, I'm not in church right now, I'm at home, and we just got bad news. I need to lean on your word right now. Not every moment is like it is when you're in church at the altar or when you're in your car listening to that worship song that you love so much. In our darkest moments, we're going to have to lean on God's word and what he's spoken. I believe that as well, another thing, we are so self-focused and we're not enough kingdom-minded. Joshua's army was somebody else's miracle. Are you willing to pray bold prayers for somebody else? Are you willing to look at someone else's situation and pray bold prayers? This is not meant to offend anybody, But it is possible that you can be so focused on getting an answer to your prayer that you can forget that you may be the answer to somebody else's prayer. We can be we as the church sometimes can get so self-focused that we forget we're family. We're family. I need to be concerned about your prayer, especially if I can be the answer to it. You know, I've been in situations before where I've seen people who financially needed help. They needed somebody to give them financial help and assistance. They were in a tough spot and were told, well, I'll pray for you, when they had the means to help. If we have the means to help, we need to help. We can be the answer to somebody else's prayer, as Joshua was in this situation. Can I encourage you with this before we close? Once you've given God your bold prayers, you've fasted and you've prayed, you also need to be willing to rest that God is still God. That God is still God in these situations. Sometimes we can get in a situation. I had a situation not long ago, and I prayed about it and prayed about it and prayed about it, and I gave it to God, and I didn't see the answer come the way that I needed to. And that was the word that I felt like God spoke into me, was rest, rest. You've given it to me. You've prayed, rest. And you know what? The answer did come. It doesn't always come on our timeline. It doesn't always come when we think it needs to come, but God is always on time. God will always come through. It just might not be on our timeline. I'm going to ask Pastor Nathan to come back to the piano as we get ready for maybe a time of prayer together. I want to ask a couple questions before we close. First question, are you still praying bold prayers? Are you still praying bold prayers? Or have you gotten so focused on other aspects of life that you've stopped praying those bold prayers? I said something this morning that I feel can be a real challenge for everybody that's in the church. We can get so focused on a Christian spin of the American dream that we forget to focus on God. We forget to pray bold prayers. Are you still praying bold prayers? Number two, do you still listen for God's voice? Do you still listen for what He has to say? Does your vision for your life come from God? Does your vision for life come from God? Has God placed things on your heart and said, here's where I would have you go. Here's what I would have you do. Or is it a Christian version, as I said, of the American dream? Get nice things, go on nice vacations, live a nice life, hopefully die peacefully in my sleep. Or do we have a vision that comes from God that looks for more? God never called us to comfort, although He is the comforter. If you don't have a godly vision for your life, reverse back to 1 and 2. Pray bold prayers and listen for the voice of God. If you're at a place in your life, you say, I'm kind of just going aimlessly right now. I'm at a place where I just kind of go to my job. I go to my church on Sundays. And that's kind of where it ends. If you're still here, it doesn't matter if you're 95 or 5, God has a plan for your life. If you're still here, God has a plan for your life. We have a man in our church, he's 89 years old. He just had a stroke recently, and it looks like he's going to come through. Thank the Lord. But I tell you what, he ministers to me every single Sunday. He has shared stories with me of God's faithfulness. I know he prays for our church every morning at 5 a.m. And at 89 years old, God still has a plan for his life. He had the stroke. God kept him around. And that's the very thing he said to our pastor. God still kept me here. He still has a plan for my life. So no matter what age we are in this church, God has a plan for us. God has something for you. He has a vision for what he wants to see you do. Can I have everyone stand with me this evening? Here's what I'd like to close with this evening. I believe every single one of us at one point has probably prayed a bold prayer. But I would ask you, we're going to take a moment as Pastor Nathan and Manny lead us. I would have you take a moment and ask God, God, what would you have me pray? What's the bold prayer that I need to start praying? And if you're already praying bold prayers, say, God, would you speak to me this evening for the action step that, like Nehemiah, where he felt the brokenness in his heart, and then he went and said, you know what? I'm not just going to pray about this. I'm going to go take this into my hands because God goes with me, and ask God, God, what is the action step I need to take? Is there a person that I need to reach out to? Is there a person I need to start praying for and ask God, God, would you give me opportunity to reach this person? Because what I have found is this, is that as we have done so, though it's scary, though it can be challenging, God has always been faithful. And as we've started to walk, dare I say, in the miraculous, as God has started to do those things in our life, it will stir up your hunger for more. It will stir up your hunger to want to walk in that more and to ask God for more boldness. I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm going to allow Pastor Nathan to take it from here. Heavenly Father, I just ask right now for your church. God, that in 2018, you have a great plan for Yarmouth Evangel. That you haven't forgotten them. You're already starting a great work in the hearts and the lives of the people. And God, I would ask right now that for those of us who are here that have not been praying bold prayers, I ask that you would stir us up once again. God, I pray right now that for anyone in leadership, from the board to the pastor, to the youth ministry, to the kids ministry, and those that are involved in every aspect of this church, that if there has been any doubt that has crept in, God, that you would give them a new boldness to come before you and ask for the impossible again, God. For the many lives that are represented right now through kids, grandkids, brothers, cousins, family members that are not here tonight and maybe have fallen away from you, God, that we would bring them before you once again, believing that you can do the impossible. That you have not forgotten these people. You care about these people. And Lord, if you want us to be your hands and feet and to go to these people, that you would allow us opportunity to go to these young men and women, God, and reach out and speak into their life, God. Only you transform. Only your presence will transform. And we want to walk in your will. So Heavenly Father, in these next few moments, I just ask that you would speak to us and place a new burden on our hearts for the impossible. In your name, amen.